As Acts 19:6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And the last one is from Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So if I can just invite Rob up. Just want to pray for Rob before he speaks with us today. God, we just thank you so much for Rob. We thank you for the love that he has for our community and the relationship that we have with him. And God, we just ask that you bless us today and that you bless the words that Rob says and that your Spirit dwells with us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you and to share with you as a community. We pray for you every day, so Alma's never very far from our thoughts, and there are many of you who we pray for personally each day too. And so over many years, it's been a joy to have a link with Alma and to be one of the trustees of the church here. So greetings also from Woodlands Group of Churches, and again, those growing links of partnership in the gospel, not least with Simon and Amy. It's been great to see the way they've come to share with you here. And so it's a particular joy to be with you this morning, and especially to be with you on Father's Day. In fact, you're doing a series now on life in the Spirit with the prayer that everyone at Alma might really experience that reality and that fullness of life in the Spirit. And so you've given me the title today of Filled with the Spirit. And that promise of being filled with the Spirit, even on that day of Pentecost that you've been thinking about, and when the Holy Spirit came in power and those disciples were filled with the Spirit, this was what Scripture describes as the promise of the Father. This was the Father's promise to his children. And so today we want, and what more wonderful day than Father's Day to sense how we not only understand more of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, but even to give the opportunity here this morning to pray and to sense that fresh experience of the fullness of the Spirit. Often in recent years, in fact, it's been on Father's Day in quite a few situations, there's been a real fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. And so that's our prayer for today. By the end of this morning, we not just talk about, but we might experience something of the reality of that experience where it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take these scriptures that we've just read and just unfold them. We've got one from the Gospel and from Acts and then one from the Epistle. So it gives us quite a spectrum of New Testament insights into what it means to be filled with the Spirit. But I want to even go back further to see how the whole work of the Spirit is rooted right back from creation itself. See, the Holy Spirit didn't just arrive on the scene at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was at work from the very beginning. Even the opening words of the Bible, creation, says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth. God has always fulfilled his purpose on earth through the Holy Spirit. It's just that our human experience of the Holy Spirit has been an unfolding one as we go through history. So in those early days of human life and history, there were experiences of the Holy Spirit. What would happen is the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody and empower them for some mighty deed, even with some amazing acts. You take someone like Samson, and every experience that Samson had of power, when he faced a lion and tore the lion apart, it says this: every time the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was filled with power and tore the lion apart. Then the Holy Spirit left him. And then another occasion comes where it's the gates of the city or times when he's breaking the cords. But every time the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was filled with power, then the Holy Spirit left him. Because it wasn't possible under that old covenant, the Old Testament, that relationship with God, for a person to experience what it was for the Holy Spirit to live in them. The whole experience of forgiveness, of relationship with God, was a temporary changing one as they offered their animal sacrifices, and they would continually have to do it time and time again. But God's unfolding purpose was pointing to a moment in time when it would come, when it would be possible not just for the Holy Spirit to come upon a person, but for the Holy Spirit to live in a person. And so when John the Baptist sees Jesus first and says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This wasn't just going to be a temporary sacrifice that had to be repeated day after day and year after year. This was going to be once and for all. So Jesus, as he moves towards the cross, begins to explain to his disciples that the Holy Spirit, this is John chapter 14, who lives among you, will be in you. There was going to come a time when the Holy Spirit would come and actually live in them. In fact, it's even more powerful a description than that. It says that our bodies will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Literally, God's presence living in us. Not just when we come into church, but when we're out in a world, in work, in everyday life, the Holy Spirit living in us. It's difficult sometimes to understand that. And I can still remember a fellow who become a Christian. He was still just early days of his Christian life, and he came from quite a checkered background and was learning what it meant to be a Christian and some of the habits that, you know, need to change in that. And I remember one day I was going down, I may have told you this story before, to church, and I was quite a little way behind him. He was up in front of me, but I could see a pillar, little sort of clouds of smoke coming up where he was having a quick drag before he went into church. And I went quickly, a quick drag just before he went in, because then he got to the church door and he stopped for a moment and he stubbed out his cigarette. And by the time he'd done all that, I'd almost caught up with him. And he looked back and said, Rob, he said, just getting rid of my fag before I go into church. I said, you don't need to do that, Sid. He said, what do you mean? He said, I wouldn't smoke in there. I said, why not? He said, it's a holy place, a church. I said, no. The building's not the holy place. Your body is the holy place. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why, whether it's habits in our life, whether it's things we do or think or attitudes, the thing that shapes that is our understanding that we become the dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our lives are filled with lots of things. It may be sometimes with anger, with greed, selfishness, pride, vanity, so much of what takes up human nature. What does it mean for a change to happen whereby somehow God deals with those inner things in our life and we experience what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, it's important to understand that He is the Holy Spirit. And therefore, if the Holy Spirit is to fill us, just like Sid's rationale about not doing this in church because it's a holy place, if the Holy Spirit is to fill us, then firstly, it means all those things of selfishness and pride and vanity in our lives being dealt with, and the whole experience of the wonder of God's grace. That's why it's only in Jesus this can really happen. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, not only do we experience forgiveness when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, but also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's like as if you take a drinking glass like this one at the back, and if I take one of these even here, and if you want to drink out of this glass, but in fact somebody's been using this glass for the last few years for growing little plants in, so it's really dirty and full of stones and things, but you want to drink it. It's only half full of dirt and stones, but you know, you put the water on top of it and it's not very drinkable. You've got to first of all empty the glass out. It's like our lives. We've got to experience that inner cleansing. We know what it is humbly to come before God and to experience the wonder of forgiveness. That's why the whole experience of becoming a Christian is the wonder of that new life, to be forgiven and washed clean. But then I'm left with an empty glass. What do I now do? Well, there's two things you could do. You can put it under the tap, or else if you've got a bowl of really clean drinking water, you could plunge the glass into the bowl and fill it up. In fact, sometimes there's almost some confusion sometimes is what we mean by some of these expressions, because the Bible speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, by baptism, if you've seen a baptism, there's a baptistry here. Somebody goes down into the water, and baptizo means to immerse, and they're immersed beneath the water. If I took this empty glass and plunged it into a bowl of clean drinking water, it would fill with water. Now, you say, is the water in the glass or the glass in the water? Well, both, really. The glass is in the water, but the water's in the glass, and so that experience of baptism of the Spirit is being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. In fact, it says on that day of Pentecost, as there was the sound of mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. Every one of them. It's our birthright. This was the birth of the church. So every believer in that room at that stage there, as the church was born, every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's God's intention. It's God's intention for every believer to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, those words we read, the last of our reading from Ephesians 5, where it says, don't be drunk with wine. Now, even that expression, why drunk with wine, Rob? Because for those early believers, so amazing was the experience of the fullness of the Spirit of God, even on the day of Pentecost, that those who were watching them thought, wow, there's something different about these. They must be drunk or something. You know, the way they spoke with boldness, these uneducated men, but they'd been with Jesus. There was something changed their lives. There was a power within them that wasn't just their own natural thing. Oh, I'll try and be a bit more confident and say something, but this was the Holy Spirit filling them. But the challenge often in our lives is we need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so those words in Ephesians 5, the actual Greek word there, it says, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, why is that, Rob? Well, for two reasons. Firstly, because it's like a bucket that leaks. Our lives, with all the frailty of human nature and living in a world in which we have, we quickly find, even if today, as we pray, and my intention today is to pray and to see many folk have the opportunity here this morning to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. But we go back to work tomorrow and another week, and we find ourselves in a difficult situation. We lose our temper. We find this before long, the bucket begins to leak. And so I need to be continually filled. The Bible speaks about being renewed daily in the Holy Spirit. But much more important than just that maintenance experience of being filled with the Spirit because of the leak, we need to be living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit continually, because it's only when we're filled with the Spirit that we can overflow. And God's intention is for us to live constantly in the overflow of the Spirit. The most effective witness to a world around is not just the dregs of our human life and experience as Christians trying to live in the power of the Spirit, but it's the overflow. When you live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there's something infectious. There's something that just contagiously overflows of that life of Jesus. And the amazing thing about overflow, and I'm sure you've heard me say before, you can't overflow unless you're full. You say, but Rob, I really feel I'm doing well at the moment. I would say I'm most likely, you know, I've lived half my Christian life where I feel as if I'm half here and only 50%, but I've really been doing great, and I feel I'm about 90% now, Rob, full. That's wonderful. You won't overflow. Oh, Rob, I feel 99, but yeah, that's wonderful, but you won't overflow. You only overflow when you're full. That's understandable, isn't it? So God's intention for those early believers to live in the fullness of the Spirit was not just a self-indulgent thing, like, you know, you have Sunday lunch and you feel full. Somebody offers you a bit more and you say, no more, thanks, I've had enough potatoes. No, it's not like that. Fullness is the beginning. From when you're full, now everything else that comes of the Spirit of God pour your life will be overflow. It's not for you, it's for a world around. And God longs for us to live in that fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so for these early disciples, this was their birthright. This was the norm. Be living in the fullness of the Spirit. The sense more and more every day with that renewing of the Holy Spirit, there was an overflow that touched the world around. It wasn't us trying to pump it up or manufacture it. It was just a natural, supernatural overflow. So how did it happen? Well, it happened in lots of different ways. On that day of Pentecost, of course, mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Spirit. Then in the early churches, the church spread, and we read a little incident of the church at Ephesus, when Paul arrives at Ephesus and in Acts 19, and they'd hardly heard of the Spirit, and yet they believed. But then Paul lays his hands on them. As he lays his hands on them, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something almost of that impartation in that ministry as he prayed over them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So how does that experience happen for us today? And the first reading was from John chapter 7. No more wonderful way of understanding the fullness of the Holy Spirit than to hear the words of Jesus. It's been a religious festival. It's the last great day of the feast. Talk about religious ritual and activities. They must have been up to here with it, full of it. But Jesus says, if any of you are thirsty, if deep inside you feel there's a real inner thirst for reality and spiritual reality amidst all this religious activity, then come to me. And the first condition, and I've seen this with many, many, many people over the years. You know, often some people want to be filled with the Spirit almost out of speculation. They've read a book and heard about some miraculous things that can happen. You can suddenly find yourself speaking in tongues, and I'd like that, really. But are you really thirsty for God? Or is it just that you'd like that kind of experience? Or do you want to share this badge to say, I've been filled with the Spirit? Is it? Or is it a real inner thirst? You long in your life in worship where sometimes, even like this morning, you can sing familiar songs, but you long for that inner the Spirit of the Lord. There's a release and a freedom in that, where you really feel an in God. And there are moments when it's a case of the norm. Or in your witness, you know, you do try to faithfully witness, but when was the last time you ever led anybody to faith in Jesus? When was the last time you really felt like was fearful of the Spirit and boldness? When was the last time you and brash Spirit inspired boldness? That reality in worship, that boldness, it's just that genuineness, even in fellowship, a closeness and reality. But are you thirsty for more of that? It's not something someone's going to manipulate you around. It's not something someone's going to impose on you, but are you thirsty? Just this morning, just thirsty for more of God, more of reality in worship, and more power, Spirit, in witness. Then Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty. So often we think, almost Jesus, if anybody feels mature enough and ready enough now, and you feel you're on top and you're ready for it, then come. No, no, Jesus says, if anyone's thirsty. That's all he's asking, is that we're genuinely thirsty. And then the next step is so wonderful. He doesn't send them, you know, to read a book or to go to a special convention or meeting. He just says, if anyone's thirsty, come to me. It's so important in the work of the Holy Spirit and the whole release of those charisma, those gifts of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the source of that life in the Spirit. It's always in him. That's why Scripture explains the work of the Holy Spirit is to take the things of Jesus and to glorify him, to make him real to us, to sense more of the of Jesus in us. So if you're thirsty this morning, thirsty for more, before the end of this morning, we can give an opportunity, just like Jesus said, come to me, come to me. Just to come to him afresh, say, Lord Jesus, I'm thirsty for more, more reality in my life. I'm coming to you, Lord. And each of them is like as if Jesus just gives us simple stepping stones. If you're thirsty this morning here at Alma, and you come to me, what do I need to do? You need to drink. Drink? Yeah. And drink is important. If I take this glass, and we were talking about seeing it full, you know, I could hold it tight, I can hold it up in the air, I can hold it everywhere else, but I could even become a little analytical for those who are a bit like chemists and say, this is H2O made up of hydrogen and oxygen. I could analyze it. I could tell you. There are popes who've read so many books about the work of the Spirit. They could tell you indeed. There's so many people who've analyzed it, asked so many questions. But actually Jesus says you've got to drink it. You've got to drink. There's got to be a conscious step of faith in which you imbibe. It cannot just be an objective acknowledgement. It can't just even be a sense in which, yeah, I really do think the Holy Spirit may change, but unless I'm willing to drink, a conscious step in which I receive. That's why, again, today, even a context maybe where we're maybe listeners mean to be active drinkers, to say, yeah, I want to drink. It's interesting, isn't it, even there at Pentecost and when Ephesians 5 about being drunk with wine, as if, you know, it's a kind of, but that's been intoxicating, but it's about drinking, it's about participating. Jesus goes on to say, if anyone is thirsty, to me, and drink. But he who believes in me, this is a conscious step of faith. It's not just I've heard stories or read books about and want to just speculatively kind of just test them. I need to believe. I need to believe that Jesus is able to fill me with his Spirit. I need to believe this morning that Jesus can fill me, each of us, this morning, that he can fill me with his Spirit. But I also need to believe that Jesus wants to fill me with his Spirit. And that here this morning, it can happen. If I don't believe that, nothing would happen. That's why it's a conscious step, which I'm thirsty for more. I come to him. I'm willing to drink, and I really believe that as I drink, I'll experience that empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is not just some kind of anecdotal experience. It's not just telling you a few stories of people who've experienced. And over the years, I've seen some amazing experience of people filled with the Spirit, people from all sorts of backgrounds and ages and different situations. I've prayed with church leaders and all sorts of people who've had a whole history of being involved in Christian work, but I've never really experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But that's not the basis. What Jesus says is this: if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said. Wow. So this is a biblical experience. This is in the light of the promises of God's word. This is not just some kind of journalistic thing that I've heard about and think I want to do. No, this is what the scriptures say. This is what the scriptures teach. Out of your innermost being. It's not just a mental acknowledgement, even the things I've shared today, is not. It's like as if his spirit witnesses in my spirit, out of his innermost being, will be released rivers, streams of living water. Now, in case you think this is my interpretation, Jesus, John goes on to say, this, by the way, is what Jesus was speaking of the Spirit. This is about the Holy Spirit. This water you're drinking, these streams flowing, this is the Holy Spirit. This is where it is to be filled with the Spirit, to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And he's saying this, it says in John's Gospel, to those who had believed but had not yet received. So it's possible to believe but not yet to experience the fullness of the Spirit. Yeah. Now in their case, because it says, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, but I thought he was there from the beginning of earth. That's right, from the beginning of creation he'd been there. But he'd not yet been given in power as the promise of the Father to live in them, to fill them. And Jesus had not yet been glorified. So once Jesus had died on the cross and made it possible through that sacrifice for the glass to be washed clean, to know what it is to know that inner experience of forgiveness, not just temporary linked with the next animal sacrifice, but now eternally, the gift of God is eternal life. Now this glass could be filled with the water of God's Spirit, empowered to live life in the Spirit. And that's what Jesus says, that it's once he was going to be glorified, they'd not yet received, but when he was glorified, and that's exactly what happened, as he went through the cross, gave his life for us, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and received the promise of the Father on this Father's Day, as it were. The Father poured out his Spirit. And those first believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just, say there were 120 of them that time, so a few more than us here this morning, but every one of them. It doesn't say that, 90 of them, wow, got filled with the Spirit on day one, and then 2 weeks later, another five of them, and 2 years later, another one of them, and one of them maybe 10 years later, and eventually, no, on that day, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This was their birthright. This was the birth of the church. This was what God intended for his children, to be living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Are you thirsty for more? I want every day of my life, it's my prayer, fill me afresh, Lord. Maybe some of you have never experienced that fullness of the Spirit. You've believed, you've experienced the Holy Spirit, because without the work of the Spirit you can't be born again, but you've never lived in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, you've known times where you really have experienced the fullness of the Spirit, and you've witnessed like you've never witnessed before, you felt a reality in worship, but somehow it leaks away, it drains away, just the pressures of life, the disappointment, the seeming unanswered prayers, and before long, we're still a believer. We wouldn't be here this morning, but we just need to know afresh what it is to be filled with the Spirit. We need to know more of God. There must be more than this. Sometimes we live our lives in that sense where you feel that there must be more than this. More than just going through the motions, there is more. That more is to be filled with the Spirit. So what I'm going to do, and I want to make it as easy as possible, I want to give an opportunity here. Now, I'm conscious in a context where maybe for some of us, we're not the most kind of exuberant, expressive, as it were, in our faith. We have a genuine faith. But so what we're going to do is we're going to get the worship group up, and we're going to sing a song that says, there must be more than this. Okay, so up you come. And this will make it easy. I want to do something that every one of us do every Sunday, if you can. And that is, instead of standing now, we're going to begin to sing this song. But if this morning you would love, you're thirsty for more of God's Spirit, you're open to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, then instead of me saying all stand, you just stand if that's something you'd love this morning. You just long for more to know God's Spirit. And just simply stand. Now, it's not asking you to do something you haven't done before, you do every Sunday you stand. But I'm just saying, don't start by standing. Just stand if you feel ready, okay? Now, if some of you aren't able to stand, then just open your hands in a receiving act. Position. Just is being willing to drink, to receive. Then I'm going to pray. Just take a few further moments of worship. I brought with me my little cruse of oil. Now, oil is just one of those symbols, just like wind and fire. But I'd love to pray for some of you, and just like Acts, where Paul laid his hand on them and prayed, and they were filled with the Spirit. But I want, first of all, just a sense for all of us as a simple opportunity to respond. So let's just begin to sing. I'm already standing. Because I want more. But if you, it's an invitation. If this morning you want more of God's Spirit, you want to know what it is to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Maybe for some for the first time. For some of us, we've been Christians for many, many years, but just that fresh sense of saying, Lord, fill me now. I'm not asking you to stand all together, but I am saying to you, don't wait till the last line. Just stand as we begin to sing, there must be more for you.
Must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we
pray.
Come like a rushing wind, clothe us with power from above. Now set the captives free, leave us abandoned to your praise. Let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall. Consume me fire into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place.
Father's Day, we pray now fresh for that promise of the Father. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Fill us afresh. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the heartaches and the longings. You know the times we fear we've failed and almost have given up at times. You know the times with broken hearts and broken relationships and situations our lives have messed up at times. And Lord, we come not because we're worthy, but because we're thirsty, Lord. Thirsty now for more. Gracious Lord, we come to you, Lord Jesus. By the source of life, life in the Spirit, we drink of you now. We drink of you, Lord. We imbibe afresh those promises of God, this promise of the Father, and we say, Lord, spring up a well. From deep within, may we sense that release, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Lord, even now, may we sense, even as we worship further in these moments, and today, Lord, as we meet people, may there be a new sense of an anointing of your Spirit upon our life, in our witness, in our way of living, Lord. Fill us afresh. If there's anything in our lives that would hinder, Lord, cleanse, we pray. Forgive and wash clean. Renew, we pray, by your Spirit. Lead us now, Lord, as we just further worship. May we sense that welling up, those living streams of water, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, and we're just going to just sing a further maybe worship song or so, just as part of that response, and just a sense as we're worshiping, just that fresh release, that welling up that from deep within. It's not just singing words, but streams of water welling up. Thank you, Lord.